Miss Martha came to me at church. I was about to preach. She said, "How'd it go this morning?" I said, "Early service." She said, "No, over at Brother Jimmy's." I said, "They wasn't there." She said, "Yeah, I got a text. It was to this morning, and man, I got worried. I seen Brother Jeremy sitting over there." I said, I don't know, but I was worried." She came to me after, said, "No, brother, it was next week." I said, "Praise the Lord." I texted Brother Jimmy right before I got up to preach. "Man, I'm sorry. I forgot all about it. I had it scheduled for next week." Book of James chapter 5 this morning, verse number 11. James chapter 5, verse number 11. Thank this church and its pastor for always given to Deep South Bible College. And man, we're looking forward to a new semester, getting to teach. Brother Harold said 21 was enrolled. Praise the Lord for that. And just excited about what God's doing there at Deep South Bible College and the plans. And so glad to see you this morning, and continue to hold Deep South Bible College up before the Lord, and that God will use it and bless it in a great and mighty way. James chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says this morning, the Bible says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy." Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this day. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for Calvary. Bless us this morning as we preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach on the subject of endurance. Now, I'm not here to preach that we got to endure to the end for our salvation, as many preach, because that's not the fact. Amen. I got saved when I was 16 years old, and that same salvation is going to continue on for all of eternity. Praise the Lord. He saved me to the uttermost, and I know that I am. But this morning I'm going to talk about, just for a few moments, as men of God and as people of God, the age that we live in, we must understand there's going to be some things that we have to endure. I look at it, if you read the news, you listen to Fox News, you listen to 99.5, you understand that this world, that America that we love, has turned its back on God and turned its face towards sin over the last several decades. And today, we're seeing the results of that being manifest not only in our Congress, not only in our churches, in our country as well. And we see today, Miss Donna Blackwell just got back from England, and she gave a testimony in church. She was over there for several months. She said the morals of the people in England are greater than the people in America. I'm talking about people that ain't seen God move in hundreds of years. She said the dress standards of the people of England are far greater than the dress standards of the people of America. And as I look at us today as men of God, and I'm 20, just fitting to be 30 years old, I understand if the Lord lets me live, and some of us, if the Lord lets us live, Daddy always says, "I'm on my way out, Brother Caleb. You got a lot to face once we leave." And I think, man, you're right. So I want to preach this morning why enduring is far better than quitting. You see, today the problems that we have is that God is no longer reverenced in the world. 50, 60 years ago, God was feared. God was reverenced. That is no longer the case. Sin has consumed our nation. 13 states have already adopted that homosexual marriages will be legalized. 50 million abortions since 1973, just to put a little thing on that you can understand. There's 5 million people in the state of Louisiana. So 5 million, you got to times that times 10 to see how many abortions has happened since 73. 1 in 12 teenagers have attempted suicide already. So you see that sin has consumed our nation. Being a Christian is now being mocked at. Living godly is considered backwoods and uneducated, and churches are now a show house and not God's house. Some more stats for you before I get to preaching this morning, just to show you that in 2013, we got to finish, we got to continue, we got to endure. They say on Google that 3,500 to 4,000 churches close their doors permanently every year. Tens of thousands of churches have no pastors, and multitude more have pastors but are not preaching the Word of God. 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce. Four men that we were close to in the last 5 years that we know of have quit the ministry. Well, what happened? What's happened? What's happened? I tell you what happened. Number one, first of all, sin has consumed our nation so much where it's ran over and filtered over and flowed over into our churches. And then number two is this, people started quitting on God. You see, because carrying the cross, the Bible says, if any man want to follow me, let him come after me, take up his cross and follow me. Carrying the cross is not an easy thing. Carrying the cross is not for the faint of heart. Carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a message and a poem and let's live like we want to the rest of the week. It's an everyday thing. It's a hardship to follow after. after Christ. You ask Peter if it was a hardship to follow after Christ. You ask the Apostle Paul, was it a hardship? Paul said, I've been shipwrecked thrice. I've been placed in prison. He said, listen, Paul even faced death. Paul was even called into the third heaven. Paul was stoned on multitude of occasions. And let me tell you something. He understood that there was hardships in following Christ. So the problem is people all over quitting on God. The reason that is just as I said, because being a sold out, born again believer is not an easy thing. It's not easy, as Paul said, to kill our flesh on a daily basis. The reason it's become that we see so many today quitting on God is because of sin, because of self, and because of Satan. And so the reason I believe God gave me this message for this morning, I know us as men of God, there's a lot of pressures put on us. There's a lot of pressures on a man of God. And there's also a lot of pressures in this world on the people of God. So I believe the reason God gave me this message this morning, us as Christians living in 2013, we must face the facts. You know, a lot of times I like to be like an ostrich. Sometimes I like to put my head in the sand and pretend nothing else is going on around me. I tell my wife all the time, I'll turn on Fox News. She'll say, turn that. I don't want to listen to that. I said, you can be the old ostrich, put your head in the sand, but the lion's coming anyway. And you're just an easier target. You just won't see it coming. Here's the thing. In 2013, we must face the facts that we as Christians of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to have to endure hardness. Here's some things that we can expect in the future that we must endure. When they begin to start telling us in the next 20, 25 years that church is going to be banned, we must endure. When preaching is prohibited, we must endure. When the government gets after our churches, now this is a big thing, when the government gets after our churches and our preachers with their taxes, we better endure. We just seen that happen just a couple months ago. You know one of the groups that were hit with this? You know one of the groups that they tried to, was the Beams Ministry. Another group they targeted was Ben's Ford Christian School. It's not longer before they start pointing us as preachers out. When we stand up against sin, they place us in prison because of things that we say. Will we endure? Brother Caleb, that can't happen. That can't happen. And I'm just telling you these things to lead us into our message. That can't happen. Yeah, it can happen. It's on its way. It's coming. It's coming. Maybe I listened to too much conservative news, but it's coming. When a teacher in school just 2 months ago was fired because she prayed with her class, we understand it's coming. Teacher can come into school drunk today, and all she gets is a paid day off. Little slap on the wrist, but you pray with your kids, you're gone. When the president of Russia stands up against homosexuality and our leadership in America stands against that, when Russia's president has more moral standards than our president, we facing something as a church of the living God in America in the next few years. So we got to face the facts. We must get prepared. The reason I'm preaching to this morning again is for us as preachers and us as people of God to understand where we're at. Not only on the social level, but also the spiritual level. Let me take a few minutes here. We all face discouragements. We all face trials. Every one of us, there's been a time in our ministry or time in your relationship with God where you wanted to throw in the towel. Hard to heart. It's hard to live for Christ. It's hard to preach every morning. It's hard or to study every morning. It's hard to get up and preach. It's hard to minister to the people. And a lot of times we face those discouragements. Now, a lot of times we won't let it on to where we are facing discouragements. But listen, we're all in the same boat. When I read about some of the great men of God, when I read about David, guess what David felt? He felt discouragements. Times he wanted to quit. When I read about Noah, he faced discouragement. When I read about Moses, he faced discouragement. He wanted to quit. When I read about Nehemiah, I see him there weeping and facing discouragement. When I read about Jonah, he faced discouragement. When I read about Jesus himself, he faced discouragement. When I read about John the Baptist, he faced discouragement. Remember when he was in the prison and he's kind of pouting up and saying, make sure that that's the one out there that's really the right one. And speaking of Jesus Christ, when Peter, Paul, all these men faced discouragement in their ministry and in their lives. Today we got to do that. So are we going to quit or are we going to continue to endure? That's the two options we have. Before I get into these 3 points that I want to bring out to this morning, right now I reckon football's on our mind. Ben's Ford just started football back last week. And man, we played a heck of a game last night. But a team that goes out there and quits in the summer doesn't do anything in the summer. When it gets Friday nights and the lights are turned on, they ain't going to be able to showcase their talents. But a team that endures the heat, they endure the hard practices. They endure the training sessions. They endure the weightlifting. They endure the contact practices. When they go out on Friday night, they'll be prepared for the battle. He says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, this is my first point I want to bring to you, about enduring is far greater than quitting. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." Paul writing to Timothy here in this last letter of his life. And one of the messages that this older man fishing to depart this life wants to give to this young preacher is this: Timothy, I've lived it. I've seen men lived it. And Timothy, you're fishing to have to live it. If you're going to preach the gospel, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, hardship is coming. So go ahead and put on the armor of God and endure the hardness of war. Of war. He says, endure hardness. He says, thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul understood the devil was coming. The world was coming. Sin was coming. Self was coming. Be easy to quit. Be easy to give up. But enduring is far greater than quitting. He says, no man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. He said, Timothy, the reason, and this brings me to my first point, the reason you need to endure these hardnesses, Timothy, is because enduring pleases God. It pleases God. This morning, one reason that I tell us here, tell us as Christians, tell us as preachers, the reason we got to continue to endure. And listen, we can quit. There's 4 men of God that I said a moment ago that I would have said when I was a teenage boy would never quit. They quit. So we're subject to it all. So here's the thing that I'm trying to tell you this morning. Here's the thing, enduring. Paul says, listen, the reason that you must endure, he says it in verse number 14. He says that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier, is because enduring the hardships of this life pleases God. Pleases God. You read the chapter of faith in the book of Hebrews. All those people endured the hardnesses, and the Bible said they found favor in the sight of God. This morning, when it gets tough, when the trials continue to come in and face us, when persecution, not right now, but maybe a few years down the road, starts facing us as churches of the living God, remember this: it's pleasing to God when His people endure hardships for Him. Our life should be centered around bringing glory to God. Our life should be centered around lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Our life should be centered around, all around God. And sometimes, though we don't like it, sometimes part of glorifying God is enduring hardships for Him. The second thing I see this morning is found back in the book of James, back in our text. We read another verse out of the book of James. Is we see that not only enduring pleases God, it's far greater to endure than to quit. Endurance brings happiness to the believer's life. James chapter 5, verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So we see that God calls us blessed here. This morning, one thing that I want to bring out about in this life that we live, continuing to endure for Jesus Christ, continuing to go forth, to continue on, it's because of this. It can bring happiness into our relationship with Christ. I read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you see these men and these ladies who are being persecuted for the cause of Christ, and they have one thing in common. They praise God the whole way down. You read Trail of Blood, you read about the two Baptist preachers in America, in the early America, who got beat to the Bible. The book says that their shoes were filled with blood because they were preaching that salvation is through Jesus alone and you couldn't baptize a baby into heaven. So the state church got them and beat them till their shoes were filled with blood. But then they left that place praising God, just as James and John, Peter did in the book of Acts, when they left the place pleasing God, that they were able to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. You read about these men and these women that endured these hardnesses, that faced these challenges. You read about Paul and Silas at midnight. What were they doing? They were praising God, praying to God, singing His glory. Because when the tough situations come and we say we're going to lock in and endure and keep the faith and walk towards the prize and don't let the devil, the world, nor ourselves deter us from that, I promise you God will get glory to our lives and our happiness will be filled in our soul. You take a Christian that's going through some trials, but he's staying faithful to God, you'll see a happy man. You see a Christian that's got all the blessings of this world upon him, but's not walking with God, and you'll show me a miserable man. Show me a Christian that has nothing. Don't have a home. Don't have nothing. But yet, if he's enduring his hardnesses for Jesus Christ, I'll show you a happy man. Complete. But you show me a man who's got all the wealth of this world as a Christian. Ain't pleasing God, ain't enduring the cause of Christ, has quit on God, I'll show you a miserable man. Endurance brings us happiness. My last point this morning, found in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, this is Jesus. The joy, remember the first point is enduring pleases God, endurance brings happiness in the Christian's life. And number three, the joy that comes later after you've endured. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, speaking of our Savior, said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. The joy that comes later after you've endured. Jesus here in Hebrews chapter 12, one of the great verses in all the Bible, talking about the author and the finisher. Not only did he begin it, but he also ended our faith, finished it. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus, before he went to the cross, I'm not telling us anything new this morning. Jesus, before he went to the cross, knew what the cross was going to be like. We know that when he was in Gethsemane. We know that his flesh as a man did not want to go to the cross, but the spirit inside of him, the Godship of him, knew that he had to go to the cross. We understood that he knew the hardships of the cross. He knew what it was going to be. He had even told his disciples beforehand what was going to happen. But the Bible says he didn't look at the hardships of the cross, but the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. What was that joy that set before him? Well, many people believe many different things, so let's just catch them all. Many people believe that the joy that was set before him is that, number one, he was pleasing his Father. That was the joy that he was looking to. The second people that people believe was the joy is that the sinners that would be saved because of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, to know that he was fishing to be caught up into heaven with his Father. But what we do know is there was joy there. There was joy. He knew this was his life's work. What he was sent to do was this and to be finished. For the joy that lay beyond, he endured the cross. The joy that comes later after you've endured. What's that joy that comes later for us, Brother Caleb? In this life that we live, in the temptations, the Bible tells us on several occasions in the Bible, endure temptations. As Christians, when we endure, when we continue to step forward, one day in heaven we're going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. We're going to see the rewards that God has placed at the feet, or give to the people of his children that we'll be able to place at the feet of Jesus. For continuing on through the hardships. Listen, there's going to be a lot of Christians in heaven who quit on God. Who quit? There's a lot of them at Ben's Fort Baptist Church. Maybe here, maybe at your churches. Man who at one time was sold out for God. They was a flame on fire. Now you can't find them anywhere. You call them, man. You want them to come to church and they won't give you an answer. Brother, you believe you're saved? Oh, I know I'm saved, brother. I was 16 years old. I could. Why ain't you in church? Well, brother, I just, you know, somebody hurt my feelings. So somebody hurt your feelings means you can't endure for Jesus Christ. You just quit. You quit. Testimony ruined? Quit. One day in heaven, they're going to be disappointed. The Lord's out passing out the rewards of heaven. And those people are standing there with just salvation from hell. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Remember the verse that makes us realize we're going to have to endure hardness as Christians. Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross. Taking up your cross denotes hardship, trials, toughness. In this world today, all the books that have been written, people have this picture of Christianity that's a bed of roses. And man, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us as believers in Christ. But as soon as a child of God is birthed into the kingdom of God, the attacks start coming. The attacks start coming. I had a young man that I've been ministering to, got saved here at our church here about 6 months ago. He got out of church for about 2 or 3 weeks. Well, I realized he wouldn't come, and I called him. I said, brother, what's going on? Me and him, same age. I said, what's going on? Why ain't you been at church, man? I've been missing you. He said, brother, you won't believe what's happened to me since I got saved. I said, what? He says, man, since I got saved, he said, when I was just coming to church before I got saved, everything was going smooth. But since I got saved, he said, these old friends has come back. They brought the beers around. They brought the marijuana around. He said, brother, I've done slipped up twice. He said, the temptations. I said, brother, we got to meet. We met together. We prayed together. We cried together. I said, brother, you know that you're saved, brother. He said, God put something in my heart. He placed His Spirit in my heart. And the whole time I was doing this, I knew I was wrong. I knew for the first time that I was wrong. But it's like the temptation was strong. As soon as a man gets saved, gives his life to Jesus, the attacks are coming. Fiery darts of the devil are coming. We got to endure. That's what I told him, son. There's some things in your life you got to put it behind you and endure for Jesus Christ. Leave you with this thought. One of the early preachers in America, I can't remember his name, but this goes back to the book Trail of Blood of these Christians who endured for the cause of Christ. They told him, because he was preaching against the state church. And by the way, people in America think that religion's always been free in America. It wasn't at its foundation. You read it wasn't at its foundation. Now, they made it not many years after it was founded. But the state church, they still felt like they had to set up the state church here in America when it was founded. Some of these guys who now they call Baptists went away from the state church and was preaching, hey, christening of a child does not bring salvation. You got to repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus Christ. They didn't like to hear that. The state church didn't. One man was preaching this, and I believe in the New England area, and they locked him up, put him in prison. Took him away from his congregation. He was getting a pretty big following, so they put him in prison. Well, every day, his congregation would come to his prison cell window, and he'd preach to them. They found that out, so they blocked up the window. Matter of fact, they tried to do so many things to this. They tried to poison this old boy, from what the book says. They tried to put light gunpowder, in his cell to kill him, but nothing ever worked. So they blocked up his window to where he couldn't speak to them. To his congregation. So what would happen was his congregation, there was a big hole that he could see outside from his cell window way up top where the rain was coming in. His congregation got the biggest, longest pole or stick they could find. They put a flag on the end of it. And they'd raise it up while he was in jail. And when he saw that flag, he knew his congregation was outside. So he'd start preaching as loud as he could through that hole in the window so they could hear him preach. Now, this man was tried to kill him 3 times. They blocked him up to where he couldn't preach to his congregation. But you know what this young man did? He endured. The hardships was there. The hardship was there. But he knew he had a congregation to feed, and he had to follow after Jesus Christ. He took up his cross, and he followed Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray you just bless us, Lord. Lord, help us realize that the age and the day that we live in today, God, that we as Christians are going to have to endure hardships. God, it's coming. Lord, anybody that can look at our nation, at the things that are happening in our nation, can see that it's coming. And God, I pray we just continue to take up the cross. We wouldn't put it down. We wouldn't put it on somebody else. God, we'd take up the cross you've given us and we would carry it. God, we'd endure. God, we'd finish strong for you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.